on Bellevue Houston. Time for Vanessa and Gallant.
That sounds good. I'll have that.
Featuring Vanessa Richardson.
This is not a common opinion. This is not a popular opinion.
And Paul Gallant.
I think for the average person that sees me, they don't know that I'm a cat dad.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
It does kind of feel like a Friday, which is messing with my mind.
I think your mind, though, is all over the place because you spilled coffee all over the coffee room.
I did. And it's not, guys, it's not just coffee, it's Starbucks. So it's
why,
not
is
like...
is it like better coffee because
yeah,
it's Starbucks?
Yeah, better coffee. Not only is it better coffee, but it was like $5, which for a broke girl like me, come on now.
Why not just make the coffee at home for less than $5 and not support...
Oh, would I be able to buy a house then, Paul?
No.
Would that solve my problems, baby boomer?
I just don't want you to support the organization that saw the Seattle Sonics ripped away from Seattle. The Supersonics belong in Seattle, and it's all Starbucks' fault. Also, I have had a bad experience living on top of a Starbucks.
You are a Karen. Tell me more.
Maybe another time.
You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5, 92.5, and of course, you can hear us on the ESPN app and see us, hi friends, on Twitch. All right, so the lockout continues with, it seems like, minimal progress being made. Every time
every time
it feels like, okay, well, they met for a couple of hours, etc., we just kind of get a kick in the teeth. So one of the things that we know anytime there's a lockout, a dead period, that it impacts a lot of different things, whether you're talking about Carlos Correa's situation and wanting to get him, you know, or wanting him to find a place to go, whether you're talking about rehab, and in this case, one of the hot topics with rehab, of course, is Lance McCullers Jr. wasn't able to play in the World Series or I think the ALCS. So he was on with Manev, who is a young man, local Houston student who gets a lot of great interviews, has just the sweetest,
Gupta, yeah,
cutest YouTube channel.
I mean, I'm jealous. He's going to take my job someday. He's already getting interviews with all of the big names
he's
in Houston.
Who so nice.
I'm sure do not like me. And am I jealous? Yes, but he's doing a fantastic job. And he got the scoop of all scoops from Lance McCullers.
He does.
He's in the midst of rehab.
He does his research, too.
He does.
He's well-researched.
Is that like saying I don't do my research?
No. I sound like you when you talk about your dates. She was nice. All right, so Lance McCullers Jr. telling Manav about his rehab and about how the lockout has actually kind of pushed it back.
The injury I had in October was much more, it was much worse. And of course, we were putting off, we were trying to pray for a miracle and maybe something would have happened where I could have pitched in the World Series. But I had a pretty good strain on my flexor tendon in my forearm. It was off the bone quite a bit. So, you know, we just have to keep hoping it's healing up well as I continue my rehab and throwing.
Whenever I hear that something's off the bone when it comes to muscles, ligaments, and stuff like that, it just makes me...
It seems not good.
Puke a little in my mouth. Yes.
Lance was very optimistic during the ALCS. Maybe I'll be ready for the World Series. Then he says he can't play in the World Series, which I think most people probably assumed, but he still seemed optimistic. He said, good to go by spring training. The lockout obviously has affected this. You heard Lance McCullers Jr. just now, again, on with our friend Manav Gupta. And one of the things that he pointed out is that not being able to be around those trainers, not being able to go into the facility. So it's certainly not good. And look, anytime you're talking about a guy that has had Tommy John surgery, an injury of any sort in the arm is not good.
No, not at all. And the owners, it's day 85, imposed this lockout. So basically, in a nutshell, they are locking the players out from team facilities. And what's really frustrating about this, I think, for everybody is that you want to have every single player that maybe missed time last year, didn't play last year because of catastrophic injuries, you want those guys ready to go. You know, I the Braves won the World Series without him last year, but I would imagine if you're a Braves fan, you want Juan Soto to be out there day one after, you know, he messed up his knee last season. Same thing with the Astros and Justin Verlander, too. You know, and you get the finishing touches done right leading up to spring training. And baseball's owners are of the mindset that if there's no spring training, then we're going to have to actually cancel games. And that was what we saw yesterday, Vanessa, from baseball. They're not looking at this the right way. I feel like the hard deadlines that they keep giving out, and the deadline that they gave was Monday. And baseball's players, to their lack of credit, have not acknowledged said deadline. If things are not, if there's no agreement over the weekend, per a spokesman for baseball, a deadline is a deadline. Missed games are missed games. Salary will not be paid for those games. So not only are we potentially going to be in a world where when the season finally does start, someone like Lance McCullers is not going to be at 100%, but there also might be some games just outright canceled in the near future.
And that impacts, I'm always one that I think is important. It's important to look at the broad perspective. That impacts stadium workers, mm-hmm. broadcasters, mm-hmm. parking attendants,
yep.
the economy around those ballparks. There were restaurants around Minute Maid Park that closed.
Our show content.
Yeah.
Do you want us to talk about the Texans baseball owners all off season? No.
Yeah, come on. But no, I mean, it impacts more than that. And so I think it's important to, you know, realize that a lockout, we might roll our eyes, and it's always, as ESPN always says, the millionaires versus billionaires, yeah. blah, 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 which I don't think people understand how big of a gap there is between millionaires and billionaires and how insane that gap is. But that's a discussion for hashtag math another day. But yeah, no, it's really disheartening. And if you're a baseball fan, or certainly if you're employed by baseball, it's not good.
I don't get why they're married to these deadlines. I don't get why they are married to arbitrary dates. I feel like right now, anything that comes out into the public that shows that baseball's owners and players are at each other's throats makes me, a casual baseball fan, say, bleep these guys. Screw them. You know, get back out on the field. You are losing ground in every single, I guess, race, if you will, for public attention, for interest with football, with basketball. There's not really another sport that's in the same realm as baseball outside of that. Hockey is a largely northern sport. But in this situation, you would think that baseball would realize that they look bad. And they just dealt with this 2 years ago with all the pandemic questions coming out of it. They thought to themselves, we're going to take our sweet time getting back on the field, when they had an opportunity during the pandemic to perhaps make people that did not love baseball the way that they used to fall in love with it again. I was so pumped when baseball finally came back, but after all the weeks of them bitching and moaning with one another and fighting each other and calling each other names, I was like, oh God, guys, like, you're missing the big picture
here. And
it
was only a 60-game season.
And it could have been longer. Yeah. They took their sweet-ass time.
They would have been the only
there.
Sport playing during the pandemic. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Alex Wood, pitcher for the Giants, he was with the Braves, tweeting, it's fascinating MLB set a hard deadline to play a full season for Monday. They locked us out. Had barely any contact for 2 months post-lockout. Have yet to make a single good faith offer to even initiate real conversations to get a deal done. Just make a real offer.
Yeah, make a offer. And they don't, they never do, you know?
One of the things that I think players have been good about this time around with the lockout is being more communicating better with the fans, using their social media platforms. Like Alex Wood and a bunch of MLB players have their, what is it called? Avatar? Their profile picture?
Avatar, yes, avatar.
On Instagram, Twitter, and all of that, the grayed out version, which is, of course, on MLB's website. And so there's a lot of unison.
What a bunch of hardos. Good God.
There's a lot of unison among players, and they're communicating with the fans mm-hmm. and saying, it's essentially sending the message that it's not our fault.
Right, but
now,
who
do the
cares?
Players have some responsibility? Yeah.
Look, we get it. It's not necessarily your fault, but we want to watch games. Like I don't care. I just do not empathize. You know, I can't relate. Yes, there's a huge gap between the millionaires and the billionaires. If I have to pick between the two, I'm definitely picking the millionaires over the billionaires, because the owners are cowards and just hide behind Rob Manfred, the meat shield. You know, they just let him take all the flack, and they actually don't address any of the concerns publicly. They just hide behind him and make him field all of the questions. But two sides need to work together to come to an arrangement. And at times, even though I understand it, it feels like baseball's players just like to fight for the sake of fighting. I get it. I really do. There are a lot of stupid things that baseball's owners have been proposing over the last couple of weeks that I would think, if I were in their shoes, be annoyed by. But at the same time, the average person, they look at this and they're like, just get back out there. I don't care about these things. You just make me dislike your sport if you're going to once again have a delay to the start of the season. We've had two now in 3 years, possibly. That's too much.
Baseball has had issues with retaining fans anyway. They haven't stayed, you know, like the NFL is the train that keeps rolling. When you see the ratings for like a crappy Jags-Lions game on a Sunday afternoon, it still does better than some playoff games in other sports. That's just a fact. Baseball's not like that. Baseball needs to stay modern. Baseball needs younger fans. Baseball needs to take risks, and they haven't done that. To your point, they missed a major, major opportunity with COVID. So it'll be interesting to see how this develops. And obviously, we'll be talking about it throughout the show. We want to hear your opinions. Tweet us. I'm at Sports Vanessa. He is at Gallant Says.
You want to know how casual a baseball fan I am? I confused Juan Soto with Ronald Acuna.
That's okay. There's also, we could dig into that a little deeper, but we won't. All right. Coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the destinations of Deshaun's desire. Where does he want to go, and how close are we to that potential trade? That's next.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Two of my favorite words when it comes to buying a new vehicle, 0%. As in 0% financing right now on new GMC Sierra 1500 Limited Crew Cab for very well-qualified buyers. Lance Erline here, and if you're looking for a new truck, visit Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. They know trucks, and they've got new GMC Sierra 1500s in stock or in transit. The GMC Sierra 1500 Limited is a fantastic-looking light-duty pickup truck, and it's built to perform. Gulf Coast Chevy Buick GMC in Angleton. GMC, we are professional grade.
Hey folks, David Gow here again to talk about Texas Citizens Bank. Here's the deal. Texas Citizens Bank understands the needs of small businesses. If you need to finance a new building, buy new equipment, or get a line of credit, you've got to go to Texas Citizens Bank. And just like Gow Media, Texas Citizens Bank is a locally owned and locally managed bank. They know how Houstonians do business. They're really good bankers, and they're good people too. You will love what they can do for your company. To learn more, go to TexasCitizensBank.com today.
Member FDIC and Equal Housing Lender.
Hey guys, talking about a new sponsor, Aqueduct Plumbing. You need a plumber. You need to have a plumber on standby. Put it in your phone when I give you the number. But repiping, that's a big deal right now because all these galvanized steel pipes are starting to crack and leak, causing major issues at your home. They can get repiping done in a single day at Aqueduct. Make sure that you give them a call or put this number in your phone, 281-488-6238. That's 281-488-6238 or aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
Hey, you got better things to do than think about your electricity bill, but how do you avoid the surprise of a high bill at the end of the month? Here's what I do. I rely on the guys over at Champion Energy. With their low-price, fixed-rate plans, there's never any surprises. Plus, the team at Champion sends me weekly usage reports with my projected bill amount. Again, no surprises. They also remind me when my contract is about to expire so I can lock in on low prices. Visit champion.energy to view a variety of fixed-rate offers. That's champion.energy. Promo code 1560. Promo code 1560.
Golfers, tee it up this year at Edwin Watts Golf Shops for the hottest new arrivals from Callaway. Featuring the new Rogue ST drivers, Callaway's most stable driver ever, with tungsten speed cartridge, jailbreak speed front, and AI flash face. Engineered for max speed and forgiveness. Four different models to fit every golfer's needs. Think speed? Go Rogue. Swing by Edwin Watts Golf Shop to get custom fit for the new Rogue ST drivers today. Edwin Watts Golf Shops, home of the 90-day satisfaction guarantee. And shop us online at Worldwide Golf Shops.
We interrupt your top 40 hits to issue this alert from the Carbach Brewing Company. In our efforts to brew our distinct and popular Hopadillo IPA, we have unwittingly created a monster. A monster with an insatiable thirst. A monster that will not stop until it gets what it wants. An ice-cold Hopadillo IPA. Just like the one I'm holding in my hand. Bold, flavorful, dry-hopped, irresistible. No, sweet Mary! Hopadillo. Find it before it finds you. Bravely brewed in Texas by the Carbach Brewing Company.
You're locked in with Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
Happy, happy Thursday. You are listening to Vanessa and Gallant. We are ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I know we've talked a lot about Deshaun Watson. Obviously, the deposition is supposed to be this week, and it was delayed a couple of weeks while Rusty Harden works on other cases. We'll see, of course, how this develops. Throughout this case, we've heard a lot of possibilities like thrown out. And here's the thing. We started hearing possibilities even before there were the allegations because he said he wanted to exit. And then once the allegations came to be, it became a little bit more complicated. But we've constantly heard the Eagles, the Dolphins, the Panthers. We've heard a couple of 49ers rumblings, and then it was rumored that he wanted to go to New York City. The one thing that seemed to be holding it up, and this is what was widely reported by pretty much every network and the Ian Rappaports of the world and the Adam Schefters, was that the only reason a deal didn't get done was because teams didn't want to risk having all of these lawsuits. There are 22 civil, there are 10 criminal. Mike Florio says that's not the case.
Yeah, Mike Florio says that per a source with knowledge of the situation, multiple teams are willing to make a deal for Deshaun Watson as long as the criminal situation is resolved, which, based off of what we heard from Rusty Harden this week, he expects it to be resolved before April 1st. And the report from Florio continues, last year, the Dolphins insisted on settlement of all cases before a trade would be finalized. The Panthers, though, were willing to make the deal regardless of the civil cases. They are a desperate organization. Watson, though, did not want to waive his no-trade clause for a trade to Carolina. Well, if that's the case, I would say that it's probably safe to assume that Carolina is out, given that he went to Clemson and that Charlotte is not too far away from Clemson. You would think, okay, maybe he wants to go back home. He's going to have a little more support there probably than he would in any other geographical location. Clearly, if he's saying no to waiving a no-trade clause, he doesn't like the situation there at the very least. And I don't blame him, given that I don't know that Matt Rhule is going to be there after this coming season. So now I'm wondering, Vanessa, what are the teams that he actually would be willing to be traded to waive his no-trade clause to?
This is also so different than what we heard before.
Yeah.
This is new information. And I will say the thing that about Mike Florio that makes me tend to trust him is that he has been super critical of Watson. He's been super critical. He's not like some unnamed reporters and media folks.
Name them.
That are like,
say their names.
Deshaun Watson, still hot on the market. Let's like, yeah, we know you're getting texts from David Mulligan. Chill out. Mike Florio has been very critical. So for him to say this, I believe him. And I think it is a very, very significant development that teams, as long as he can get the criminal situation resolved, they feel like they can take not only the risk of the civil cases and the risk of the NFL investigation.
Suspensions.
And potential suspensions. They're good with it as long as the criminal. Now, the thing to keep in mind with the criminal is that there are 10. 8 of the women are also involved in the civil lawsuits, and then 2 of them are not.
Yeah.
So there's 10 total.
These teams are such soulless bastards.
It's.
I mean, they don't care.
Money, money, money.
It's really funny that, you know, I guess I'm a little naive to think that there wasn't going to be a team that would take a swing on an elite quarterback, given that teams have taken swings on noted crazy person Antonio Brown. Remember Greg Hardy? The Cowboys even took a shot on him. The guy like basically tried to eat one of the assistant coaches on the sideline, nice, give or take. So it shouldn't be that surprising for a quarterback. But it's funny, too, though, when you hear all these organizations asked point blank about it, and they're like, yeah, we would never. You know, when the New York Giants and John Mara, the owner of the Giants, said, yeah, we're not going to do something like that.
Right.
Well, other teams are going to, and ultimately, if you're the team that doesn't want to do it, your fans are going to be pissed at you if you maybe were a team that the guy would have waived his no-trade clause for and you didn't even try. But I am curious as to what he wants, because Vanessa, I also saw yesterday, and this is from Ron Rivera, who's the head coach of the Washington Commanders.
Still so weird to hear.
Yeah, I don't know. Can we do another name? You know? Yeah.
I liked Washington football team.
Washington football team, actually, I got used to it enough. And now you got to change it again. I think Washington Hogs would have been good. Good, you know, throws a little homage to their history in the 1970s, their famous offensive linemen. Fans used to dress up as pigs going to the games. Burgundy and gold actually works with Hogs. Whatever. I'm sorry. That's a side tangent. Ron Rivera, we'd like to believe we would be a viable option for a lot of quarterbacks, he said to The Athletic Tuesday. We understand what the capital will take to bring a type of player like that here. We believe we have a lot to offer. So they have the 11th pick in the first round of this year's draft, pick number 42 in the second round. I wonder, though, if Watson's not willing to waive his no-trade clause for the Panthers, is he going to be willing to waive his no-trade clause for Washington? Yes, they have Terry McLaurin, one of the better wide receivers in the NFL. I think as far as head coaches go, that Ron Rivera is in the top half of coaches in the NFL. They have some other good players there, Antonio Gibson, a defensive lineman, Daron Payne. But I wonder what factors Deshaun Watson's thinking about. And we're definitely putting a cart ahead of a horse and thinking about what it is that Deshaun Watson wants and where Deshaun Watson wants to go. But I mean, that is probably the the big thing to figure out at this point in time. Where does Watson want to go?
Where does he want to go, and who's willing to take on that risk? And I'm not saying the risk of he'll be a repeat offender and all of that. That's kind of a separate conversation. The risk that he gets traded, yeah, the criminal cases are resolved, but then, you know, and if the criminal gets resolved, it seems like civil would follow, possibly. I say that. That is, obviously, I'm not a lawyer.
The settlements you would think would come afterwards.
You would think would come after, yeah. But just the risk of, okay, well, then what does Lisa Friel and what do the NFL decide? Do they decide to sit him? After sitting out 1 year, I think it's fine.
They have to.
He sits 2 years, is he rusty? Is he considered rusty? Or is he well-rested?
That's a good question.
People continued to try to get Andrew Luck to play 2 years after he retired.
Yeah.
So I don't think that it is out of the realm of possibility that after 2 years he would still be viable and wanted and appreciated and, you know, wanted as a starter. But it's going to take a lot of planning. And like you said, the no-trade clause, if he doesn't want to go to the Panthers, where else is X'd on the list for him?
That's what I'm wondering. And what's the biggest factor? So put yourself in Deshaun Watson's shoes. I would just remove entirely what you think was going through his head. Let's just entirely speculate how we would operate if we were Deshaun Watson. What's the number one thing you're thinking about? If you're a quarterback and you're looking for your next destination, you obviously want to play for a winning team. But say you can't play for those teams across the NFL that have great quarterbacks, say the Chiefs, who I think are pretty set up pretty well, the Bills, et cetera. Where would you want to go?
I think you want to go somewhere where you have weapons.
Okay.
And I think because he was sacked so many times and had such a bad offensive line while he was here, you want to go somewhere where you're protected.
Okay. Place that could be that. Indianapolis Colts, but the Texans are not trading you into the division.
No.
The factors I think that are biggest for him are going to be, is he going to be able to win there? And, you know, coaches, the star players, the talent on offense around, those are important factors. But, you know, when I thought about the Washington Commanders, who I think are a joke, you know, your owner, who's not really the owner anymore, is disgusting. You have a disgusting stadium. You have a field where players have torn their ACLs all the time. It doesn't seem like exactly the most optimal place, but you do have Terry McLaurin. You do have Ron Rivera. You do have the worst division in the NFL. Like, the NFC East stinks. You know, really? Jalen Hurts and the Eagles made it into the playoffs? You know how they did that?
That's a quick ticket to the playoffs.
Right. So I'm wondering, there's probably a team in the NFC that you would maybe not really think of first, like we all think with Denver and the AFC, where Watson's probably going to look at it and think to himself, you know what? Well, in this conference, I don't have to deal with Joe Burrow. I don't have to deal with Mahomes, Josh Allen, Lamar Jackson, Justin Herbert. I guess you could throw Mac Jones in there if you really want to. You know, like there's so many good quarterbacks in the AFC. Where in the NFC, Brady's gone, Breeze is gone, Rodgers might not be on the Packers this coming season, given some recent developments that we heard yesterday at a press conference that we'll get to later in the show. The NFC looks like a place where, you know, you could cruise in and do pretty well for yourself if you find a decent, like average team to be the quarterback for.
What Deshaun Watson, I think, wants might be a little bit different than what other quarterbacks would want, or what's a priority to him. He's not a loud guy.
Therapists.
He's not a loud guy.
No.
He's not he's going to bang on the drums and be your most vocal leader. That's just never really been his thing. I think he wants a winning franchise. I think he's going to want protection and a good offensive line. But I think he wants a situation that fits him. I think he wants a coach that he's not going to go back and forth with. Now, always important, he and Bill O'Brien actually got along really well.
Yeah, that is an interesting factor.
He and Bill really liked each other. So the one thing that about Deshaun Watson that you can't say is that he was difficult to coach or difficult to work with.
No, his problem was entirely upstairs.
100%. And he and Bill not only liked each other, they respected each other. And when I was at the game in Baltimore when they lost to the Ravens. It was a blowout. It was an awful game. This was 2019. Deshaun Watson goes to the podium, and people are like the media kind of asking, okay, well, kind of trying to poke him about O'Brien. And Deshaun genuinely and authentically was like, that's my coach, and I love him. And I talked to the people around Deshaun Watson. He meant it. So I don't think – I think
which
the
is
narrative,
crazy because the Hopkins trade happened and it still seemed like it was the case afterwards.
Still, yeah.
Where O'Brien's the one signing off on that.
Watson might not have agreed with how that went down, but he and D-Hop remained completely cool. And there are situations like that in life. Like, I feel like we think it's more of a soap opera than it is. There are people that one of your friends might not like completely that you're kind of cool with.
I have a lot of friends like that.
Right. Like,
I'm the friend, and they're like, why do you bring him around? I'm like, I don't know. I like him.
Yeah. I mean, there are those situations in life all the time.
He peed on my computer last night. You know, like,
that's extremely odd.
Yeah.
But that's your personal life. We won't dip into your fetishes. But yeah. I mean, Bill O'Brien and Deshaun Watson got along really well. So he may come across as difficult because of all of the situations that. And whether you think he's innocent or guilty, you can have that opinion. It's the court of public opinion. But the bottom line is that he was not difficult to coach. He was not difficult in the locker room, and the guys really liked him and respected him. So all of that being said, I think he wants to go to a situation and a coach that fits him. And I could see him, now this wouldn't happen because Doug Peterson is with the Jags and there's Trevor Lawrence. But think of like a Doug Peterson, somebody that's a veteran coach, has experience, has won a Super Bowl, but he's not overbearing. Doug is not my way or the highway. One of those coaches I could easily see him with.
Interesting, because O'Brien was my way or the highway.
But my point exactly, he got along with everybody.
Right.
Deshaun got along with everybody.
Okay, so maybe...
Other than the front office.
So coach isn't necessarily a priority based off of that.
No, I don't think so.
So then in that case, okay, it's who are you throwing to? I don't know that I would like to see the Texans make a trade with Washington. And I am not convinced that Watson would waive his no trade clause for there. But if the coach isn't the biggest factor, you're talking about a pretty uncompetitive division, and you got Terry McLaurin there, you got a good running back there. I wonder about that as a possible location. You know, earlier in the week I was like, absolutely not. But now on a Thursday, I'm thinking and looking at it a little bit differently.
Yeah. I think that there are a lot of different possibilities, and we'll definitely see how it's developed. But definitely that report from Mike Florio I found extremely interesting about where Watson would go and where he almost went. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Gallant, the man who did the cleanse, the man who doesn't talk to his family, Aaron Rodgers, the Packers, and the quarterback carousel, what we learned yesterday, that's coming up.
Years of research and innovation.
Innovation Map is the new voice of innovation in Houston.
Pretty cool, huh, Morty?
Covering startups, tech, energy, health, social impact, and more. Visit innovationmap.com today.
Do it now! Do it! Do it! Do it now!
BK here for Rooftop Innovations. Rooftop Innovations residential and commercial roofing service is the fastest growing roofing contractor in Texas. Locally owned in Tomball, Rooftop Innovations provides a quality team of reputable, highly trained professionals that are storm damage experts and insurance claim specialists. Visit rooftopinnovations.com or call 281-351-ROOF and begin your gold standard roofing experience. Rooftop Innovations, we put your roof above everything else.
Looking for a new and fun way to make money? Jake Asman here, and I want to tell you all about my favorite way to make money, and that's with BUSR. BUSR makes it fun and easy to bet on sports. They also have a weekly newsletter, trivia to earn prizes, early lines, and free picks. For our listeners, go to BUSR.com/ESPN right now and double your deposit when you sign up. Deposit with crypto, and you'll get a 45% cash bonus on top of that double deposit. That's BUSR.com/ESPN.
I'm Shelley Torian-Barrino. I am not a politician. I'm a problem solver. The crime in Houston is unacceptable. Our city and county leaders have failed us. I will reform the bail system, keeping violent felons, murderers, and human traffickers off our streets. And I'll always back the blue and oppose every effort to defund our police. I'm Shelley Barrino, and making Houston safe again is my top priority.
Conservative Shelley Barrino, a native Texan and new voice for state representative.
Political ad paid by Shelley Barrino Campaign.
The best place to get the guns, ammo, and accessories you need is at the Houston Gun Collectors Association Gun Show in Humble this Saturday and Sunday, February 26 and 27 at the Humble Civic Center. Over 250 tables of the stuff you want. Tickets only $10 at the door and $9 online at hgca.org. Free for children under 12, ladies on Sunday, and free parking. Saturday and Sunday, February 26 and 27, the Gun Show in Humble at the Humble Civic Center, 8233 Will Clayton Parkway.
Eric was way behind on his taxes.
I owed a lot of money to the IRS, almost $15,000. I tried to make payments.
The IRS wasn't satisfied with Eric's efforts, so they came after him full force.
They're coming to put a lien and a hold on all my income, my home, my car. I was just overwhelmed at what to do.
Then Eric called Optima Tax Relief.
When Optima Tax got involved, the calls would stop, the threats would stop. It was easy, like, 1, 2, 3.
Optima Tax Relief is A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau, and their team of expert tax professionals took care of Eric's problem.
I owe $15,000, and now my debt is clean. I don't owe anything.
Take Eric's advice.
If you have a tax problem, you need to call Optima Tax now.
Call Optima Tax Relief for a free consultation. Call 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122. 800-845-8122.
Optima Tax Relief.
Some restrictions apply. For complete details, please visit OptimaTaxRelief.com.
Welcome back to Vanessa and Gallant on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Vanessa Richardson and Paul Gallant.
And we are rolling along on a Thursday. Thanks for joining us. I'm Vanessa. That is Paul Gallant at Sports Vanessa. He is at Gallant Says. As we continue conversations, Aaron Rodgers always finds a way to be in the news for one way or another, whether it's a breakup, a cleanse, personal issues, or, of course, his
enemas,
career
yeah.
as a quarterback. Enemas, just really yummy stuff. He had said on the Pat McAfee show on Monday that he felt communication among him and Brian Gutekunst, as well as, I really can't say that, Brian, what is it?
Brian Gutekunst? Yeah?
Brian Gutekunst, as well as the Packers front office.
Why are you so uncomfortable saying it?
Brian Gutekunst.
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 There's a, no, it's Gutekunst. It's
Brian Gutekunst.
Gutekunst. Got it?
Brian Gutekunst. All right, Brian. He said on Pat McAfee that communication between he and Brian G had really improved.
Brian G.
As well
oh,
as the
come on.
Yeah, I know. I don't sound good when I say it.
Okay.
That it had improved, and that was a huge, huge issue. He had talked about how he felt like the Packers front office didn't communicate with him last season. And then at the NFL Awards when he won MVP, he had a great speech, spoke really kindly about the Packers. So he seemed to switch his mantra on the Packers a little bit.
Right. But then yesterday, Brian Gutekunst spoke to Packers media and the world. And he said some interesting things here. Because there was an idea that there was a handshake agreement between the Packers and Aaron Rodgers that if Rodgers wanted out after this past season, that the Packers would grant it to him. But Gutekunst was asked about that yesterday, and here was his response.
Brian, if Aaron comes to you and says he wants a trade, are you going to be any more willing to trade him than you were last offseason? Are you still saying you're not trading him?
Yeah, no matter. Those are kind of some hypotheticals. I don't think we're going to go down those roads right now.
I don't know what you heard there, Vanessa, but when I hear that answer, I hear that. No, he ain't doing it. And Gutekunst continued, it was not something I told him. Again, I think the whole conversation with Aaron last season before he came back was that regardless, at the end of this past season, that we would sit down as a group and we would work it out one way or another. So we'll see, but I doubt that the Packers are going to go out of their way to trade Aaron Rodgers while he still has the ability to play at an MVP level. I wouldn't do it if I were the Texans, and, you know, in this situation without all the sexual misconduct allegations against him, same shoes. I would say, nope, not doing it. If I am the Seahawks with Russell Wilson, nope. Not doing it.
He also,
the contract, homie.
He also kind of implied yesterday, I mean, actually he didn't imply, he pretty much outright said that he wants the Packers to lock up Davante Adams. I mean, he said, there's kind of a guy who's the best at his position, and you can franchise tag starting today, and I would just really, I mean, I think the Packers should just lock him down.
You know, it's like a cleanse if you get my contract long term, and, you know, just like an enema, it's... You know, getting the two best players on your team.
Mine's better, but yours is okay.
Toxify the NFC North.
Well, here's you know what's crazy? You said that, Vanessa. Like, he said he wants Davante Adams to get that deal. Where if you're Aaron Rodgers, and of course you're going to listen to the whole press conference, so there, it's important, context matters. There's other things that are going to be said here that maybe he hears, and he's like, okay, I mean, we're on better terms. But if Brian Gutekunst says that even without Aaron Rodgers and Davante Adams, we're still a good team, as he said here,
We're going to feel a competitive team regardless. I mean, you know, I think we're the Green Bay Packers, and I think we have a really good football team in front of us. Again, those are elite players, and whenever, you know, you have elite players, you feel good about that. And you may have to do things different ways if those hypotheticals come into play. But, you know, we'll see where it goes. But I like the nucleus and the core foundation of our football team.
Wouldn't you be pissed off if you're Rodgers and you hear, yeah, I mean, you know, we're a good football team with or without Aaron Rodgers, with or without Devontae Adams, regardless of what takes place as far as contract negotiations with Devontae Adams? I hear that, Vanessa, I'd be pissed.
Well, and the other thing is, are they? I mean, they're good. No. They're good. They're fine.
Jordan Love is their quarterback if Aaron Rodgers is not.
For them to act like everything will be fine and dandy is incorrect. Meanwhile, Diana Russini, one of ESPN's top NFL reporters, on Get Up this morning, talked a little bit about this situation.
We've been talking all season long that there was an agreement made between Aaron Rodgers and the Green Bay Packers that if Aaron wanted to be traded at the end of the season, he could. But if you see here, and if you read the quote.
Yeah, Brian Gutekunst said that there is no such agreement in place, at least not with him, that they agreed that they would sit down and work it out one way or the other, but not guaranteeing Rodgers he could be traded if that's what he wanted.
Greeny, that's huge. All we've been talking about is, where is Aaron Rodgers going to land? Well, guess what? The Green Bay Packers have control right now because it's his contract. He's contractually obligated to play with the Green Bay Packers, but his decision should be looming. But then, of course, if he does ask for a trade and the Green Bay Packers agree to it, then Aaron would have to also agree to the team
right.
that the Green Bay Packers agree to.
And he's going to want a new contract when he gets there.
And he want a new contract there. And he also wants to be paid as the highest paid player in the NFL by a wide margin from people I've been speaking with.
So this isn't like hashtag breaking news per se. I mean, it's basically he's under contract, so it is what it is if they don't want to let him go. But she does bring up a good point. This idea that the general public has of, well, if Aaron Rodgers wants to leave, he's going to leave. It's like not so fast.
It hasn't happened yet. Right. These teams that seem to have quarterbacks wanting to force their way out of town. Did you forget what happened last offseason? Of the three quarterbacks that wanted out of town, and Deshaun Watson's situation was a little bit different, did any of them get their wish? Or alleged wish, because Russell Wilson wouldn't put his name on it. No, Aaron Rodgers was still a Packer. Russell Wilson is still a Seahawk. And until I actually see one of these teams decide, you know what, we're better off not having an all-world quarterback, which are so hard to find, I'm not going to believe that they're actually going to be elsewhere, even if they want to be elsewhere.
What do you think Aaron Rodgers' mindset is, like his genuine mindset going into the season? Not what he's telling people, which is, oh, it's all good. What, you know, acting like everything's fine and dandy. Do you think he already knows exactly where he wants to go and he's faking everybody out?
I don't know about that. I think he's waiting to see what happens with Devontae
Adams.
So you
think he genuinely has an open mind?
Probably, but I think that the open mind is more so he will play for the Packers if they have Devontae Adams. If they don't have Devontae Adams, then he doesn't know. And I brought this up a couple days ago. I'm curious if the Packers want to have Devontae Adams in a world that maybe doesn't have Aaron Rodgers. Because if you re-sign Devontae Adams, you're probably giving him like a 5-year contract of sorts, which I guess technically is a 3-year deal, but you would assume that that contract is going to be longer than whatever Aaron Rodgers gets, and there's a chance that Aaron Rodgers might not be playing football in a couple of years given his rather aloof nature, even if he is at the top of his game right now.
There's definitely been a lot that has transpired, a lot that has happened as we continue conversations about Aaron Rodgers. All right, potential landing spots for Aaron Rodgers. Obviously, this is one of the dominoes of the quarterback carousel, and I always will maintain that the biggest domino of the quarterback carousel would be Deshaun Watson. We don't know for sure that that is going to happen. So let's play a scenario where Deshaun Watson, nothing happens with him, whether it's because of a legal matter or whatnot, and he remains on the Texans. Where do you think Aaron Rodgers would see as a potential fit for him? And what do you think? We kind of played this with Deshaun Watson. Mm-hmm. What do you think is the biggest priority for Rodgers, assuming he's not coming back to Green Bay?
Holistic medicine.
It's actually not a bad point, though.
California. So he wants... I mean, that actually might be it. Location.
Really?
I mean, I wonder how he views the 49ers' current situation. I mean, that's close to where he played college ball at Cal.
Yes, Cali.
Right. I know that both the Rams and the Chargers at this point in time believe that they have their quarterbacks. So I could see him there. Las Vegas would be interesting. I don't know if he really has Vegas vibes, but are the Vegas Raiders with Josh McDaniels as in to Derek Carr as maybe the Raiders without would be. Rodgers is probably smartest, though, just like with, you know, what we were talking about a little bit ago with Watson. Like, if you're Rodgers, stay in the NFC. I mean, I know you biff in the playoffs all the time, despite your team having home field advantage a lot, but the NFC is going to be a much easier road for you to a potential Super Bowl, and clearly has been an easier road for you for home field advantage 3 years in a row. Why would you want to leave the conference? But what team is the Packers going to be willing to trade you to? I mean, this is the same Packers team that refused to trade Brett Favre to the Minnesota Vikings. They traded him to the New York Jets after he did his little retirement thing.
My problem with anything involving Aaron Rodgers in Vegas is he would show up to a casino and be like, you know, guys, this just really isn't good for your mindset. All right, coming up on Vanessa and Galan. The only person that loves Tom Brady and the only people that love Tom Brady more than my co-host here, Paul Gallant.
My Lord and Savior.
Are old women. And that's coming up.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Progressive presents Forest Metaphors about bundling your home and auto.
When you bundle your home and auto with Progressive, you get great savings and round-the-clock protection, which is as beautiful as looking your firstborn child in the eyes for the first time. Well, that's a bit much. Maybe it's more like looking your second-born child in the eyes for like the third or fourth time. Point being, the savings and round-the-clock protection are really, really magical.
Forced Metaphors, presented by Progressive. Bundle and protect today. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and affiliates. Discount not available in all states or situations.
This is Claudia's O'Reilly Auto Parts story.
I had just moved to a new city and barely even knew where the grocery store was yet. When my car wouldn't start one morning, I didn't know who to ask about local shops. But I remembered a name from back home, O'Reilly Auto Parts. I called and they pointed me to a great mechanic just down the street. Now I feel a little more at home.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Waymore Silencers, the only one-stop Class 3 NFA dealer in all of Houston, has all the hot new suppressors you've been asking for, like the brand-new Dead Air Primal, the Q Erector 9, Rugged's Mustang 22, and the Hybrid 46M from Silencer Co., just to name a few. All in stock right now. But you better hurry in because they're going fast. And don't forget, Waymore Silencers has one of the only in-house fingerprinting and photo services in town. Best of all, they eliminate all the hassle by filing the NFA forms for you. They're located at 15255 Gulf Freeway, Suite 167B, right off the Dixie Farm Road exit, or online at waymoresilencers.com. Again, they're at 15255 Gulf Freeway, Suite 167B, right off the Dixie Farm Road exit, or visit their website, waymoresilencers.com. Waymore Silencers, your one-stop shop for the right to remain silent.
Join ESPN 97.5 and 92.5 for the 111th celebration of Mardi Gras Galveston, the third biggest Mardi Gras in the country. Two full weekends of family-friendly fun consisting of parades, balcony parties, concerts, vendors, and over 3 million beats. Enjoy live performances by Three Doors Down and others, plus a special grand marshal appearance by Texans D lineman Boyd Lopez. Find the full schedule and more info at MardiGrasGalveston.com. Tickets start at just $16. Buy your tickets online or the day of the festival. That's MardiGrasGalveston.com.
Do you have plans for St. Patrick's Day? I know where I'm going. Jake Asman here. Join me at Griff's Irish Pub for their annual St. Patrick's Day celebration on March 17th. It's the longest running St. Patrick's Day celebration in all of Houston with 8 different live bands, Irish dancers, drinks, food, and more. You won't want to miss this. Trust me, I'm as Irish as they come. For more information, visit their website at griffsirishpub.com. Griff's Irish Pub. Let's eat, drink, and be Irish.
That's the sound of a crack in the ceiling found at a home inspection. But with a Realtor by your side, a newfound leak might only cause minor worries. With their expertise, a Realtor can suggest a credit at closing and even connect you to a contractor to help you shore up that leak and alleviate your worries. When it comes to cracks in your plans, the expertise of a Realtor can make all the difference. The difference between an agent and a Realtor is real. Realtors are members of the National Association of Realtors. That's who we are.
To show you how easy it is to file a claim with Geico, we hired a nature show host.
In the native habitat of a suburban driveway, the poor victim of a broken windshield is left assessing his vehicle, utterly helpless.
Well, not true. If he's got Geico, he can file a claim online, over the phone, or with his handy mobile app.
But like a lone gazelle, he'll suddenly be left to fend for himself, awaiting his terrible fate.
Nope. Geico will assign him a designated claims team to help him out, too.
So the gazelle gets his car fixed and everything.
Wow. Nature is so cool.
Geico. Great service without all the drama.
Breaking down the Houston sports scene with V and Pauly G on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Hey, we are rolling along on a Thursday. You're listening to Vanessa and Gallant. I'm Vanessa Richardson. He is Paul Gallant. And if there's one thing I know about my guy Paul, it is that he loves him some TB12.
Understatement. I swear my allegiance to him. He is my world. He is my muse. He is my flame. He is my Lord and Savior. Why are you laughing? You can't laugh at my religion. HR.
In other news, Paul is single. but yeah, I mean.
How are those related?
Tom Brady is well-liked in general, and I think he's become even more well-liked in the last year and a half or so after getting drunk on the Tampa Bay Parade and showing a little bit more of his personality.
And not being on the Patriots.
Even I can see how he's endearing a little bit now. A little bit.
But a lot of people.
And I hated this man.
Yeah, because he, you know, owned that.
We're not going to get into that. So Tom Brady, obviously, quote unquote, retiring from football. We'll see how long that lasts. But he has made his first move into Hollywood in a big way. Now, he's had some guest appearances on movies and shows, whatever. But he is going to be in a movie, and it is actually a true story, with Hollywood icons Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, Rita Moreno, and Sally Field.
Oh.
It's made by Paramount Pictures and Endeavor Content. The movie is called Brady. It's going to be directed by Kyle Marvin. And it's
Brady.
Inspired by a true story. Four best friends and New England Patriots fans. This is per The Hollywood Reporter.
They're going to have Boston accents?
Take a life. The khakis. Four New England Patriots fans take a life-changing, this is per The Hollywood Reporter, trip to the 2017 Super Bowl to see their quarterback hero, Tom Brady, play and the chaos that ensues as they navigate the wilds of the biggest sporting event in the country. That was in Houston, right?
It was.
Tomlin, Fonda, Moreno, and Field play the quartet. Brady, making a transition from football player to Hollywood player, was involved and, of course, will be in the movie. So, my question to you, Paul, do you look forward to seeing this movie? What's the best part going to be? And is acting going to be a bigger part of Tom Brady's future?
Well, the only important part will be the ones with Tom Brady. And if anyone watched Ted 2, I think it was, where Tom Brady made his appearance. Yeah, I think he'll be able to pull off that side of it. But I doubt that he's going to be featured very much in the movie. I bet that there will be a couple of scenes that he is in, but it seems like he is just producing this thing.
I wonder if it'll be filmed in Houston.
I mean, it should be.
Yeah.
Got to be authentic. Really cool. Got to be authentic. And I am really curious as to what kind of a comedy we're talking about here. Is it going to be like one of those, let's be honest, milquetoast ensemble comedies that Adam Sandler puts out that just churn out millions and millions of dollars, like all of the Grown Ups movies?
Jane Fonda and Sally Field, though.
Look, we're talking about... you know, you can't be somebody who is, you got to appreciate everything in life, you know? And I would say that Jane Fonda and Sally Field are still smoking hot. And I know it's weird, but I got to say, like, they have aged very, very well.
Yeah, they have.
But I'm curious about that aspect of the movie. Like, are they, what, are these going to be some old ladies, like, that are roaming around town and they're like, yeah, we're having the time of our lives getting shots and, like, and hanging out with younger men or something like that?
They are hot and heavy.
Or is this
going to
be
Tom Brady?
Is this going to be a family comedy? Like, I want it to be a dark comedy, and I could see it happening with Sally Field
a
and with Jane Fonda.
Dark comedy?
Oh yeah, yeah.
This is not going to be a dark comedy.
I want it to be like extremely rated R.
Like, you want them to die at the end?
No. I don't want it. I want it to be like aggressive humor, because a lot of movies these days, a lot of comedies are PG-13. If it's PG-13, I'm just not going to watch a comedy.
Right.
You know, so like, even if Tom Brady signs off on it, that doesn't mean that I'm necessarily going to watch it. So whatever the rating is and whatever the trailer is, that is, I think, going to go a long way in determining whether or not I watch this, even if Tom Brady's attached to it.
Here's the thing about this film that's interesting is that obviously men will see it for Tom Brady. Women
for
will
Jane
definitely
Fonda.
See it. And if it's family friendly, you have to expect the kids will see it too. I'm looking forward to it. And the local angle here, of course, is that this 2017 Super Bowl happened in Houston. This was, of course, the one against the Atlanta Falcons. I almost said Hawks, but that is an NBA basketball team, Paul. So that would not have been true.
No.
But yeah, that what's it called? 80 Brady?
80 for Brady.
80 for Brady.
Yeah.
Sally Field is 75, and she looks that good.
So someone just said, hey, tell me the last thing you liked with Jane Fonda and Sally Field. I can't name them, but whatever.
But that's kind of the point, right?
I feel like...
Jane looks really hot for 84. My God.
Yes. I can't... Can you believe she's 84? And also, she got actually... she got canceled back before canceling was a thing.
She did.
She went to NAMM and she was like, this is stupid or something like that. And everyone was like,
all I know is that now...
You're a satanic communist or something.
Like, I bring her up and people are talking about it on Twitch. Guys, it's not that deep. It's literally a movie about Tom Brady. I'm looking forward to this. I think it will be cute. Meanwhile...
I don't want it to be cute. I want it to be rated R.
Well, we know what you want. There are websites
no,
for that.
No,
okay?
No, that's not what
you I'm cougar and young stepson. There are websites.
You can't discriminate against age. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a number. It's just
yeah.
a number.
84-year-old sees hot quarterback. Yeah, there know? Are movies for that. Meanwhile, Kyrie Irving.
Kyrie Irving, yeah. I saw a headline last night, Vanessa, on ESPN.com, and I just thought to myself, This is so 2022. What a time. What a time to be alive. The headline read as follows. Steve Nash says Kyrie Irving excited about possibility of playing in all of the Brooklyn Nets games. What the hell? Like, how is this a story in 2022? I get it, that we've come to this point. And it seems like there are going to be looser vaccine mandates in New York in the coming days.
Right.
Steve Nash was asked about it. And here's the actual quote that led to the headline. Steve Nash on the return of Kyrie Irving.
I think he's working towards being able to play in every game. So if the mandate is lifted, the expectation would be that he can play in all our games. I think that's what he's been waiting for and what he's excited about. And if the opportunity arises, you know, the plan and the goal is for him to play every night.
Steve Nash goes home every night and like just smashes his face on a table.
Yeah.
He's like, I could have had Harden and Kyrie and Kevin Durant, and Kyrie screwed this whole thing up. And it is interesting that we actually could see Kyrie playing in a full-time basis back with the Nets. Like, now I really want to see the Nets go up against the 76ers, and I will be rooting very hard for the Brooklyn Nets.
Yeah, me too.
Absolutely.
One thing we have in common.
Right. I can't root for James Harden ever, and even if it comes with me rooting for Kyrie Irving. But can you believe that that's a headline?
Yeah.
Like, wow, Kyrie Irving might play all the games.
Congratulations, Kyrie Irving, on possibly being able to do your job.
Yeah. Look, it's good that he's excited about doing his job.
Yeah.
Right? I mean...
Everybody loves to go to a job that they love every day.
It's so funny. He's a basketball player. He plays basketball for a living. Basketball player might be happy to play basketball for a living. That's the headline, essentially. This guy sucks. He's the worst.
He is.
The absolute worst. I get it. Whatever. He maybe some of the things that he has said, you agree with them. But there is such a long list of him being full of poop that you got it. Look at him and just give all the side eye, raise all the eyebrows too. But he's excited to play basketball. Ugh, he's the absolute worst.
Kyrie is the flat earther too, right?
Yes.
Kyrie's the flat earther. But he was
just kidding. It was just a joke. It was a social experiment. He wasn't actually serious. He just, you know, the media is a bunch of puppets, Vanessa, and they just take these things and they go with it. So, yeah, he thinks that the earth is flat. Yeah, he thinks that we never made it to the moon. Yeah, he thinks that aliens exist and that they are among us at all times. He believes all these things. But you know what? It's just a social experiment.
I remember Kyrie Irving after that saying, I think his like seventh grade science teacher, somebody had contacted him and been like, yo, my kids believe what you say. So please don't say that.
Well, he went on YouTube. Like, have you ever been on YouTube? I mean, everything that's on YouTube is real.
It's a dark place.
It's funny that misinformation is such a big thing for certain people. And yet Kyrie Irving is literally claiming something that no one has claimed in 600 years, 700 years with a straight face. And they're like, yeah, that's not misinformation. No, he's just a bozo.
Kyrie Irving is actually a little bit like Aaron Rodgers in that they're both such contrarians. Because I truly, truly believe that if a lot of people believed that the earth was flat, Kyrie Irving would be the one that would say, you guys are idiots. The earth's not flat. Like, if he does things, and if everybody believed that we didn't land on the moon, which did we? I don't really know.
But, oh, we're bringing that to the table.
But if
did we land on the moon? Chime in, Vanessa Galan.
If everybody believed that we didn't, he would be the one that was like, guys, come on. Science is real. We landed on the moon.
Definitely. He, I think, likes to go against the grain. And maybe at some point, he and Aaron Rodgers can do their own podcast together. I mean, I would watch.
Oh, what would that be like?
I would watch an episode.
Of Kyrie and Aaron.
Kyrie and Aaron. It would be good. Yeah.
I think he'd be like, dude, I haven't worn deodorant in two years. And Kyrie would be like, man. Deodorant, that's what attracts the aliens.
Yes. Deodorant was designed to keep basketball players in chains or something like that. Yeah, it's bad. Everything he says is the worst. I'm glad he's back on the court, though. He is fun to watch. He's like he's a really good basketball player. The problem is he's just so full of it. And full of himself, too. And it's weird. Like, basketball players all like him. I would be surprised. You would think that people in the same locker room as him would look at him and be like, What are you talking about? You know? If you're amongst friends are going to feel very comfortable roasting you. And you see that dynamic in locker rooms all the time. You would think that he would be completely disliked or everyone would roll their eyes at him. That's the one thing I've ever agreed with James Harden on. I'm like, I get Harden being annoyed with Kyrie. I totally do. It's just that you can't quit on two teams in 2 years.
The thing about Kyrie Irving is that he strikes me as somebody that is so authentically and genuinely different that I don't think this surprised anybody.
Do you think it's authentic, or do you think it's like just a, it's just?
Well,
shit.
It may not be authentic, but I guess the track record of weirdness has been there for a while.
Yeah.
So to me, there's nobody that's like, wow, I can't believe that Kyrie Irving didn't get the vaccine. Wow, I can't believe that Kyrie Irving thinks that the earth is flat. All of his friends.
He thinks Tupac's still alive. That, Elvis, too. They live in Afghanistan.
I didn't hear about that one. He does not think that.
No, I'm just saying that, though. I mean, is there anything that you could say out there that like he wouldn't believe?
Kyrie,
you wouldn't believe that he said?
Yeah. No, I mean, Kyrie Irving is a different cat. And I think in some ways that helps him with his teammates because I think they expect him to just be really strange and go on a lot of strange tangents. All right, coming up, Lance McCullers Jr. gives us kind of an update on his injury and the lockout. Plus, after that, we draft our fantasy broadcasters. Who do you want on your roster? It's coming up.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is your job leaving you just over broke and out of hope? Maybe this is your